Barry Soper, senior political correspondent, with us now. Hey, Barry.
Good afternoon, Heather.
Shane Jones. Well, he's not afraid of court and controversy at the moment, is he?
Well, you know, when you think that he was told off just a couple of weeks ago by the Speaker, Gerard Brownlee, for being too theatrical in the House. I mean, Shane Jones has really stepped out this time back at Parliament. I don't know what this story is going to do about your coal watch, Heather, that you so championed during the winter months.
Yes.
The coal's being produced here. I mean, it surely isn't as bad, although for the environmentalists, it'll be even worse.
Yeah, well, that's true, because what we were doing was we were having a good old laugh, weren't we, that winter at how much we were bringing in from Indonesia
that's
to
right.
burn. It makes it far less funny if we're just digging it up out of our own ground,
isn't
it?
Yeah, and they'll be getting consents much quicker. The Resource Management Act amendment bill, that'll be introduced next month. So there'll be more coal extracted. He was at a site just south of Dunedin today, and he was unveiling a $10 million big, our son Iggy would have loved it, an enormous shovel. It was like a big digger. $10 bucks, an EV shovel. It was incredible. Shane Jones certainly was making no apologies for being at the coal face today, saying he's sick of the industry being demonised.
Look, I'm not spreading coal dust on anyone's porridge. All we've done is change the law so that coal mining has the same rights as other industries to secure a resource consent in the context of managing the effects of coal mining on the host environment. And such catastrophisation, that's all that Green Politburo stuff, I'm not interested in that. How come it's good to import all the coal from Indonesia, but somehow you want us to be purer than Caesar's wife and not develop our own coal industry? No, I don't agree with that. But I feel we're delivering on a statutory process that investors will be able to go through without dying of old age before they get a resource consent in New Zealand.
Good on him.
And don't forget, that was one of the first things that the Labour-led government did on coming to power, was to cancel all the licences. So they're back with a vengeance.
What's going on with churches and taxes?
Well, it was interesting that last week, you may remember, Brian Tamaki, our old mate, he had a go at Chris Luxon because this government has said that it'll be looking at taxes when it comes to churches, because they're exempt largely if they're not making a profit out of being a church. But the point that Nicola Willis made today, she said that there have to be questions asked about churches that have a business arm. And there are many that spring to mind, in my view. I mean, the Exclusive Brethren is one. Destiny Church is another. Brian Tamaki says he'll be sending a big bill to Christopher Luxon if they're taxed. He says they deal with this dysfunction of government actions when people do come to church for solace. But Willis said that whilst it wasn't something the government immediately prioritised, she confirmed that the coalition would look at it this term. Here she is.
I've no doubt that there are many churches who are putting huge amounts back into our community, who are doing great work for vulnerable people, creating great services. But at the same time, I think for fairness sake, we need to do an evaluation to make sure there aren't churches who are taking advantage of their tax status, and that's why I want to look more carefully at this.
Yeah, Luxon had also indicated, when Luxon was on with Kerry McIver, also said the same thing, didn't he?
Yeah, this has always been the objective of this government, that it's the same with charities. I mean, you know, they are looking at charities and whether they're legitimate charities or indeed whether they're businesses. Good luck to them to find out or to get beneath the veil of secrecy that surrounds some churches and charities, but at least they're going to try.
What do you make of the ECE announcement by David Seymour today?
Well, I loved where he did it. He did it at a Wellington Early Childhood Education Centre, and he was reading books to children there, and just off to the left of him was the Jacinda Ardern book for children.
Yes.
And it's got her face sort of painted on the front of it.
Yes.
He described her to journalists as authoritarian. I don't think many of us would have an argument with that. But what basically the changes to early childhood education will mean is that legislative changes that allow the government to decide where these centres should be and requirements that EC centres should have a highly trained teacher in charge that's a step above the normal teachers, he said they're going.
Unnecessary red tape.
Well, you know, the point that he made, and I think he was over making a point, he said that, for example, if a highly trained teacher, the one person that's required at an early childhood education centre, left to go to the toilet, then the centre would have to close down.
Yeah, or if that person was sick.
Yeah, well, sick, then they'd have to replace them with a really highly paid replacement. So, yeah, I think they've got a good point. And they should be able to open where parents want them to be, not where the government wants them
to be. Right, Barry. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Barry Soper, Senior Political Correspondent.
For more from Heather Duplessy-Allen Drive, listen live to News Talk ZB from 4 p.m. weekdays or follow the podcast on iHeartRadio.